You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bar Rescue After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bar Rescue After Show.
If you get in trouble, bring it home.
Now, see, Martin, you can crank that too, right? That's it. Nice.
Or across the sea.
Ding is for doing. And we are here doing Season 3, Episode 7, AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue. I'm your host, Kevin Undergaro. Across from me are my two special lady friends. Who are you, lady friends?
And don't you let them.
I'm Dorinda Barker. Chrisley Kennedy.
Yeah, you know who they are. And this is the great Sammy Davis Jr. doing his lyrical rendition of Y5O. Right? And you, because you're saying you can count on me, and this is what I think of a John Taffer.
True story.
See? Call me when there's nowhere to go, and I'll be there. You can count on me.
He's like a superhero.
That's it. Thank you very much, Martin, for that fine. Well, that's our new Bar Rescue theme song, needless to say. Okay.
We need to get capes. Bar Rescue.
So it's so great to be back here. Phil letting me sit in the chair. Very excited again. Tonight's episode, again, another great one. A little softer than some of the other ones.
Yes.
But still great. Lots to get into. I think I'm starting to see the people that John likes personally. Mm-hmm. He just goes a little easier on.
Yeah.
And I saw it with he could see she was a really hard worker. And I don't know, and I bet you anything you guys are like this with your jobs and when you get in leadership roles. And because I was the same way when I was in the, you know, I was always the one, if I was the manager or the boss, working and working and working and grinding and grunting and kind of spoiling the help that I thought were my friends.
And yeah, of course, they thought were on your same level, too.
Right. So you guys, can you speak to that experience? No, Chrissy, you bossed him around?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I have no problem firing people. None.
Okay, but do you cover,
if you don't
but
do
you
your
carry
job
them?
Right?
No, so you're healthy. Why? You should have been our boss.
No, if you don't do your job right, they're out. Sorry.
You too, Joanna? You guys, I like hearing that.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of.
So I'm the only sap at the table?
I feel like the thing that rang true is that you can't be friends with your employees. Like, you can to an extent, but there comes a time where you have to be the boss.
Well, the first thing has to be. It's got to be work.
Yeah.
Then we can have the friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the one who would always, I am the one who sits back to see how they do their jobs. And then when it's not going the way they're supposed to be doing it, then I come out, you know.
So yeah, I would just cover for them, and then just snap.
Yeah, because
like,
then you
totally
do all
unhealthy,
the work.
And then snap, yeah. And then that's not healthy either. And then you're both.
And then you become the crazy one.
Yes.
No good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's no good. And you could see she was going down that road. I was also impressed that she listened to him. So as far as we know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I can see watching him, I'm starting to see when it's, you can see he's really angry with somebody and when he just holds back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, last week I thought the same thing. I thought he felt bad, you know.
Oh, yeah. But this week, I mean, even just looking at her and she had those big eyes and when she would just even look at him, you couldn't even yell at her. You couldn't because her eyes watered up just right away.
And I do think because she was trying. She's working hard. A lot of
she
those.
She didn't know how to be a boss.
That's what it was.
You know, all she did is she knew how to be a bartender, and that's why she got the bar, because she knew how to be a bartender. She loved being a bartender, but there's a thing when it becomes yours, and you have to take that extra step, and then you have to become the boss. And I don't think she actually really wanted that at all.
But here's the she did have success the first 3 years.
Yes.
She paid off her loan. That's a really big deal,
that's,
you guys.
Yeah, that's amazing to pay off her loan in what she did in 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she, you can tell she's such a people person and she's such a people pleaser that customers are, of course, going to like that.
Yeah, I could see all the regulars coming back to her.
Especially in that business.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
So he sees the sign, you know, we in the recon. A couple of new faces in the back, too. The chef and
Jason and Russell.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a crush on Russell. I
don't really
know why. Yeah.
Russell was pretty badass.
Yes,
I mean, he
exactly.
was very short.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, you know, you do your job. This is what you need to do. I can't believe you know how to do, don't know how to do this. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. He was very forceful.
When, okay. He, the assessment, and in the assessment, we see the lobster tank. Yeah, that was just kind of weird.
You know, it's funny. When they first started talking about it, and I mean, I'm from the East Coast. You're from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's a lobster tank. They have them at all restaurants. You pick out your lobster, and then they cook the lobster. I didn't understand that it was an actual game, like a vending machine.
Yes.
It was
weird.
Really weird.
I don't even like it when it's a stuffed animal. Why would I like it when it was a real animal?
Yeah,
that is going to be my meal.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm not a... And then to find out, they, you know, you could see the water wasn't boiling, which means the animal's just suffering. Oh,
I couldn't even believe that John ate it after seeing that it wasn't cooked properly.
That surprised me.
He put it in his mouth.
Which means, I tell you, he had a soft spot for her. Because the John, you know, we know is just he's coming and screaming, I wouldn't feed that to my worst enemy. Mm-hmm. You could just hear him yelling. And no, and I was stunned when he actually ate it.
Yeah. Because he opened it up and he's like, this should be white meat, but it's yellow. And I was just, ugh. But she was so proud of it.
I know.
And
I
that
felt
was the
bad.
Other thing.
Yeah. She was like, but
so
people come in for our lobster tank.
I didn't know Long Beach was a big lobster town.
Well, I didn't know. Well, it's on there's a port, right?
Oh. I wouldn't eat lobster from a vending machine.
I don't know. I think she just got hung up on it. Like she got hung up on a concept that was hers.
It was a gimmick.
Yeah. And she was losing money anyway on her gimmick, wasn't she? Because
a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot. Because
the lobster fiscally made no sense. So our guy did 2 tries, won a lobster, and so a lobster's $8.
Yeah,
so he only paid $4 to win it.
To win it.
And I guess there's a guy, which we saw, who would come in every day. And he has won 67 lobsters, I think it was.
Yeah, it's like, I depend.
He's like, you know, like, live another day. Like, I'm like, all right, good for you, dude.
And then let's talk about the fact that the bar almost could tip over.
I was so angry when I saw that.
Well,
so
John was too.
Angry.
Because that statement that he made, that bar is a barrier between you and your customers.
Yes.
And, I mean, we've worked in bars. There are bar fights. Things get pushed.
Yeah, you need such a protection.
That needs to be stable.
Right, it's crazy.
Not to mention all your alcohol's on it. Everything's attached to it. The food goes on it. I mean, and a lawsuit if that thing fell on someone.
So I'm just looking at Dorinda because my mind just went to Bill, the manager.
Because he goes, Bill, we're going to call him Bill because I had another word in my head. But Bill said, oh, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. We did something with it. And meanwhile, Russell's like, look at this.
Oh, did you see her face go to panic when she was holding it back? But Bill said, this is what got me so upset because I've been in this. I've been her before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think the workers are your family. And so you stick up for them. And then in return, look what he sold her out. Oh, I'm not empowered to do that. Okay, yeah, so it's her fault. You know, she hired you to run the place. Mm-hmm. Your job is to run it. And your job is to say, we have to fix this. And you either fix it yourself with, like he said, an angle iron, 4 screws is literally all you need. But let's say you don't have a contractor's background, you're a bar manager. Then you say, listen, we've got to take money out. Let me get a contractor here. We can't have this. I can't. He did none of that. You could see he didn't.
He could have fixed it himself.
Absolutely.
I mean, I could have fixed it.
I mean, absolutely. But I'm just saying, I say maybe he's a restaurant guy and he doesn't have that. For me, yeah, and it could be fixed for $30. Easy.
Yeah.
Could have been fixed. Less, $20.
Yeah, but he just didn't want to even take the time to do that. And then they had the other bartenders here. They didn't even know how to make a margarita. Did you see that?
Oh, it's horrifying how many bartenders are in bars that can't make drinks.
I don't understand it. I don't get how you don't know how to make a drink. And Coach, I love Coach. I loved Coach and Cheers. I love this Coach. He was great, but couldn't make a drink.
Yeah. Well, and it's because she said she didn't hire bartenders. She hired her friends.
She hired her friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful in any way to the bar or its clients, but the people that looked like they were going into the bar didn't really look like they cared what the drinks were made out of either.
Right.
So you become comfortable in your surroundings, and Coach was used to pouring cold, warm beer.
Well, when we did some when we did due diligence, we found out that they open at 6:30 for breakfast.
Yes.
And translation, as I said to both you guys, those are the bars that service alcoholics. You know, there were bars in the Kearney business. I do deliveries in the North End, and there were bars in Boston that I would deliver stuff to, and I would see it. You'd go in at 6 a.m. and it was people drinking and smoking, and I mean jammed with people, and it's like, what's going on here? This is like a whole other world. It was like it was for us. 10 o'clock at night at a bar, at a packed bar at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was servicing all the hardcore alcoholics who either getting their drink on to go work, or maybe they didn't work, but most of them were, pounding drinks to go to work, or some of them maybe getting off a night shift, which I guess I don't mind that, but it was hardcore. And anyway, if you're opening at 6:30, then that's who you're servicing. You're servicing the hardcore alcoholics, the dregs of society. Sorry, I hope I don't offend anyone. And then you guys mentioned it's a fisherman. It's near the fishermen.
And the oil, too. So
you're dealing with fishermen who've maybe been on leash. They're getting their shore leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
or guys that are working.
And by the way,
the
fisherman community is a lot of drinking.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of drinking involved
with
that.
What they do, I'd probably have to drink that much, too.
Yeah, true. Well, that's like the carny business is you have to medicate yourself because you put your body through such physical turmoil. And then that's because it's so abusive, like those jobs, you really can only hire winos and addicts because they're the only people
that will do it.
That will do it.
It's true.
And they'll stay on that cycle. They'll do like enough of the work. Then they get they'll spend their money, get their drink on, and because no one else will hire them. And anyway, so yeah, I get where the people wouldn't care about the drinks.
None whatsoever. 50 degrees, the beer coming out of the tap.
Oh my God, so
50
gross.
Degrees.
There's nothing worse than warm beer. Like
awful.
Nothing. That's the worst taste.
Now, is it true that in Europe that's how they drink it?
Warm?
Yeah.
No, I mean, not that warm. I mean, it's not as cold as it is here, for sure. But it's not, whenever I've had a beer there, or I, no.
Martin, can you bring me a beer? I really want a beer now.
At my bar, we did not serve, it was not warm at all. Yeah. My bar in Italy was not warm at
all. It wasn't warm.
No.
Okay, so we get that the bar is, it's dilapidated. It's old guys running it. And we go into the kitchen, which is, of course, a pigsty. She's not a chef. She's barely a cook, it seems like.
No, she said she didn't even know how to cook.
Right.
Like, that's what she said when she started working there. She didn't know how to do any of that. Then when I saw the Tupperware, I thought she was bringing in her own meat that she had made at home.
Oh, no, honey, it's out of a can.
I know, but when I first saw
it. And he said it's like cat food.
Canned beef.
Oh,
I'm nauseous even thinking
canned
about it.
Beef.
He said it. Yeah, just gross.
The sad part is a lot of restaurants do it.
Oh, yeah. Because they want to cut the cost down.
Cut the cost.
That's what they think. They're cutting costs. Yeah. And once again, I don't think those people are going there for the cuisine either.
No, it's just, it's. Anyway, but the chef was interesting. Talk about a market, and I hope he pursues it, but healthy Mexican food. And then he talked about why, by definition, Mexican food isn't that healthy because it's the cheapest thing. I forget he had said. It's one or the other, right?
It's one of the cheapest by food cost to make.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
But the fact that he had a healthy take on it, you could see that's like, wow, that's quite a market he could open up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I liked him. He was cute, too. And
he was. He was handsome.
Jason was handsome.
He was handsome.
But he was also formidable, and he talked to her, too. He wasn't mean to her or downgrading to her because he got that she never knew how to do that. She wasn't a chef. She was a cook.
Even when she was when he was chopping things, her face looked confused. Like she just, you could tell she was a little out of place, and she just got thrown into making stuff in the microwave, and everything's been okay. And now someone came into her kitchen and was like, "Ah, not so much."
Right.
You could tell, and you could tell she wanted to work hard. She wanted it to be good, and it pained her to see this. So, I mean, it was another situation like a couple weeks ago where you had this great person in the kitchen that just didn't have the proper tools. If you don't have the right tools, you're not going to succeed no matter what.
So he puts them all to work to clean the whole place up and down. But Bill, in his interview, which I don't think I've ever seen this before, this interview's over. He storms out.
I mean, well.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Where are we? We're at 14 minutes.
Yeah, here
Pirates
we go.
Pirates episode.
Yes, the Pirates episode. 15 minutes in. Congratulations.
This will be the new AfterBuzz drinking game. Every time we say Pirates. Yeah, and the Pirates episode, didn't the husband do that? He was like, F this.
Right, okay.
But he came back.
But he did come back.
Bill came back, too.
No.
The next day.
After everyone did the work.
Of course he did. Because Bill's the type of person that makes it all about him. It has nothing to do with the bar or the team or the family. It's all just about Bill.
So they clean all night. Bill comes back, and then our very good friends from BevTel had some revealing news. Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, the writing was on the wall.
$600 in one shift. They gave away more than they sold. $600
And they made
alcohol.
He said, there's no way, John said, his experience, that you could have double poured or given that much away. So, I mean, I think he put his...
He was skimming.
I think he was skimming.
Oh, yeah.
And again, because he thought of her as his mom or whatever, like he was entitled. But what a... Oh, I was seething.
Unfortunately,
I was so upset when I saw that.
So many bartenders do it.
To skim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, I'm not naive. I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But he's the manager, and he's...
But it's all about him.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was. If he really cared about her, he would have put everything to the side. He would have stayed. He would have worked with her all night long. He would have got that bar going instead of making excuses. Once again, as John Taffer talks about, he hates excuses.
Right.
Just do it. Just do it.
Right.
And he made excuses and then he left and then he came back afterwards.
Like, oh, the work's all done and I'm back and I'm ready.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Still with that chip on his shoulder, though.
Did you see him, like, with the... His jaw was shaking
because he was so upset. But I was infuriated because here's this lady who was, sticking up for him and putting her neck out for him.
Twice.
And she was sticking up for
him. And he's skimming.
When that was going on.
Well, he's skimming and then he blows them off with cleaner. Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'm so glad we were positive at the end that the Chiron was going to come on the screen at the end and say, you know, Bill was rehired.
Yeah.
But it didn't come up.
Mm-mm.
So I'm hoping, that's me knocking on wood. I'm hoping that she didn't rehire him. I hope she didn't get bullied into that.
I think that she's the kind of person, which we do need in the world, that has a big heart and sees the best in everyone and wants to give everyone, you know, that second chance. So I would be willing to put money on the fact that Bill's back.
We'll find out. Hey, Martin.
Yes.
You're Long Beach, right? So can you go? Will you check that out, please, next week?
Okay. I'll go down there and see.
Because you know where the neighborhood is, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Have you been there before, Martin?
I've never been there, but I know that neighborhood. It's kind of in the hood. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of in the hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looked it.
Yeah. It's a little hardcore. You could see. Again, I think they're just... That's a tough rescue because how do you change that clientele?
It's hard. You almost can't.
You can't. And like the Canyon Inn, to, you know, reference that episode. I remember one of the quotes he said, you know, you have your regulars and you know they're kind of part of the problem, but then again, they're all you have.
Right.
So what do you do?
And every neighborhood needs their neighborhood bar. It's just a way to make that neighborhood bar stay at least to be making money.
Right.
You know, so I don't think that she'll ever lose the clientele that she has, which is great because it is her clientele, but they just have to find ways of getting new people in there and not being discouraged by some of the regulars, which unfortunately sometimes happens to a lot of regular bars.
So Bill gets shit canned.
Fired.
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 He gets fired.
And we go to the, he didn't make the, no, he did do the stress test.
He failed the stress test miserably.
He failed it. Coach failed it miserably. Poor coach. I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
all he could do by the end was pour beers. That was it.
Well,
that's all
Well,
he
you know
do.
What happens with the stress test? Why, you know, most of these places, you know, from a producing angle, mm-hmm. for the show to really work, they have to fail a stress test, right?
Yeah.
Well, they'll never be that busy either.
That's my point. So yeah. during a stress test, you know, they put a massive, mm-hmm. you know, reach out saying, hey, we're taping Bar Rescue. Would you come down? Maybe it's producer's friends, whatever it is. It's not that what they're doing is planted by any means, but they're just loading up the bar. And so what you have is these poor staffs that aren't used to having this amount of people and then being completely overwhelmed.
It's a great way to take ego out of it, though, because as a bartender, like, it doesn't matter how long you've been a bartender, mm-hmm. when you're put in a situation like that, you realize what you have to do to step up your game. So I don't think, yeah, they're kind of setting them up to fail, but they need to fail in order to get back on the right track.
Right.
And in order for them to know what they need to do to better themselves.
Right.
I think that's the way I felt. Because when they threw Mikey in there, the younger...
How great was that? He's totally...
Even the way
he was handling the shaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was good shaker protocol from what we've seen in other episodes. He was handling... Yeah. I'm like, wow, how cool is that?
And he's probably been a barback for a while, probably mm-hmm. wanted to step on the bar and couldn't because the bartenders that are there have been around for a long time. So he needed to prove himself. He had no ego in it and he had to step up and show that he could do it. And he did.
Which was great. And the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
The crowd cheered him on, and mm-hmm. he was great. And he had that love that Bill never had.
Yeah.
Even in the 2 minutes you saw him bartend, he had more love for that place than the whole episode of watching Bill when Bill was there.
There's just something about dark personality types. You know, Bill was a dark personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to referencing the bar in Austin, that owner, too, was dark. And then, of course, the other owner, both the owners in Austin, actually, to me, were dark.
Mm-hmm. Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze. And I feel like a lot of them are the ones who belong on the other side. I've said it, belong on the other side of the bar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sitting there slouched over.
And just enjoying their lives.
Right. Complaining, bitching, being know-it-alls. But, yeah, you could see he didn't like people. You could see I don't know. We'll get criticized because we're only watching an hour of this. But we're watching a fraction of really what went on or goes on in their lives. But he didn't seem proactive. He didn't seem like, I don't know. I wonder, do we even need a manager there? It's such a small.
No, what you probably need is you need a bar manager who's more of a bartender and will manage certain
things. Like a head bartender,
like a head bartender. That's what you really need in that place. Who's going to stay and do inventory and who will look at, like, end of days. And that's basically all
staff.
And if you're bringing in another person in the kitchen, then maybe the kitchen person becomes a head kitchen person and they're ordering the food.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then you have Alana. She will oversee it all because that's what she should be doing as the owner operator.
Okay, so Bill finally gets fired.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully.
Thankfully. And so.
Can we talk about before he got fired, though, as a bar manager, not knowing that you have to burn the ice when you put glass in it? If you don't know and you're not a bartender, when we say burn the ice, it's because there's glass in the ice. So then you have to take hot water and pour it over the ice until all of the ice is melted and then
clean it out.
You put the new ice in, which is, I've done it. We've all done it. It's the worst thing. It always happens at the busiest time on a Friday night.
It's the worst.
But a bar manager that doesn't know you have to burn the ice when there's glass in it, like, how do you function?
I just don't.
He needed to be empowered to function. Being empowered to function in that way.
What got me so, and that got me angry too.
Oh.
I wanted to throw something at the TV. Because you know better. You know, I think he just wanted to keep going and not even care.
No.
Like, he didn't care. And I've been in the situation where I've been the customer where the bartender didn't care that there was glass in the ice. And I've been that person to suck that glass down. I'm just like, how can you do that to somebody? Because you're putting someone's life in danger because, you know, you're going to drink
glass.
Note to self, you can't swallow glass.
No, you can't.
Not good.
I have a friend who could eat it, though.
Oh.
That was his big bar trick. He would crunch up. Yeah, he'd crunch up he had a trick. He would crunch up a glass, swallow it. Yeah.
No.
Carny days.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
People I hung out with.
It's the first time I've seen anyone do that on Bar Rescue, too. I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more often, because when you're under that stress is usually when it happens.
Oh,
well, to me, what happened was he was obviously he was exposed, but he was put behind the bar. I feel like he's never been behind that bar. And then he's rushing and he's sweating and he's, you know, he's just not a bartender. He's not a bar manager. And he just was totally exposed.
Oh, yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got to have his Sunday nights and steal $600 from the person that took care of him for 12 years.
How much money that is cash.
12 years he worked there.
That's the thing.
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
And it starts off a little bit. And every week it gets a little bit more.
Right. And then they.
It's like a disease.
But they also, then they resent the owner.
Of course.
I know, of course. I know what you say, of course. But it's like, that's just twisted.
Yeah.
That's such a crazy pathology.
Like she did something wrong.
Yeah. Do they do that because that's how they deal with their guilt?
I think so. Because
I knew. Yeah. I mean, I was close to somebody who was a bartender and a total thief. And it was always, yeah, but they screwed me. And then this place, blah, 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 blah.
Well, you feel like they feel like they're entitled to it.
You just quit.
Because they feel like they're entitled to it. Because the bar is failing, and so it's not his fault that the bar is failing. It's the owner's fault, and it's all about pointing blame. And you're entitled because you're not making the money, or you're not allowed to do this, or you're not allowed to do that.
My girlfriend said too. She said he feels entitled.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I worked for a bar like that, where guy was. We were friends with him. He opened up a nightclub. And his friends who opened it up for him, even the construction guys, stole from him. And then the bartenders did it. And the bartenders felt like, oh, well, we can do this because he's our friend. Well, no, you can't because he's your friend.
Right.
I don't get that, twisted. How you legitimize it.
Did it go out of business?
Unfortunately,
they don't ever make it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay, so can we talk about the renovation, the good stuff?
Yes.
So... we have that big reveal and it goes to commercial break and I always love it. And by the way, so watching Kitchen Nightmares for so long and now just, you know, this is my favorite show on TV, Bar Rescue, right now. And do you think the format of those shows just gets old, or you think it just works? So stick with it. Stick with the, everyone looks up at the sign and goes, and they cut.
Yeah.
The stress test always fails. I mean, do you think that this is something you can do? Is it like Cops where you can go 10, 15 seasons and people will never get bored?
Well, it's like cookie cutter and it you know, and you make.
But don't you, I mean, for me, like I get sick and I want to cut you off the nose. Remember that thought, please. But when Chef Ramsay always spits the food out on his first taste, like it's all right, every time, like really? Every
like you can time it.
I get a little bored of that, but now say what you're gonna say.
I just think the shows like this and show any of these reality shows that I've been working that I've been on for season after season after season, they have a formula that works. Mm-hmm. And if you change it up just a little bit, might just ruin it. So they keep the same formula until it's not kind of working, and then they try to throw something else in there. But this, since it's only in its third season, this has a few more seasons before people are gonna be like, we know what's gonna happen.
And they up the ante by more aggressive bartenders. They up the ante with the bugs. They up the ante in their own ways, but keep everything else because your jaw still drops.
It's jumping around. I forget. There was a big giant executive we had a meeting with last night, and Bar Rescue came up, and he happened to be a really big fan. And you know, just like we have pirates, he had the cockroach episode in his brain that he couldn't get out of his mind. And I think to myself, for a small reality show, which I'm predicting is going to grow really big. And in 2 years, I think it's going to be so much bigger than it is now, which when the word's going to keep getting out. Mm-hmm. But we've had so many classic moments that I can't think of on other reality shows, cable reality shows. I mean, some of them have them, but the cockroach episode's insane.
Yeah, I mean, we had Downey's and Out with the rat in the sink.
Yeah, oh god,
gross. Here's the thing: you can name them too. Headhunters, cockroach, pirates. We already got that, and then Downey's and Out. You can name them all. And even
one with the
Jay Murphy's, right. Where
the building was collapsing.
Yeah, it was basically condemned.
But what a great, what a great show to have all these moments.
Yeah,
yeah.
And John, John's a star. Forget it; he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Between his passion and his knowledge, but the producers really are finding them. I mean, what a great. It's all going well, and I think it's going to keep growing. But I wanted to throw it to you guys if you think the format's going to get weak. But yeah, I know I'm in.
My jaw still drops at least twice an episode. Literally.
Oh yeah. Always, and I think more so this season than it has, like, in other seasons was great. It was more like trying to watch John blink because he never blinks. But that's
he's
what
we're so focused on.
He
it.
Really
I
is, and
it.
It's amazing. But this season is just, I think there's so much more.
Yeah.
They really are stepping it up.
So, let me just go off subject a little bit here. But it's on subject, was a little off. We did a 32-hour renovation of AfterBuzz. I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you see the screening room?
Yes. I haven't seen the screening room. I can go in there.
So the conference room, the front living room, everything. We totally, the receiving room. And we had to do it in a turnaround because we tape on Friday and then we were back on Sunday. So we just had a crank. So it was and myself and Phil and Kathy and Steven and... probably because we were all getting loopy, mm-hmm. we started imitating John Taffer for Podcast Rescue, and the imaginary John was totally calling me out for everything. He was calling Phil out. He was calling Steven out. Yeah, it was great. It was just a lot of fun. But we had to go through one of these. But I was actually thinking of the fact that it's 4 or 5 days for the rescue, right?
Five
days, and then. For the physical work, it's 2 days, 3 days?
48 hours.
I mean, so it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So for us to do what we did in that time, and granted, we had a much smaller crew, but you still think to yourself, holy cow, it's incredible.
Yeah, and this season, the last two seasons, they used Nancy Hadley. So they had the same person doing the renovations. So you knew what she was going to do. She knew what she was getting herself into. This season, I think they're different in almost every episode. I know there's been
probably because they burned them out. They've probably such a high burnout rate.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think the name, he nailed it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. And I sometimes disagree with what he names the bars, but I loved this.
Yeah, it was a good fit for where it was. And obviously the Mexican food was big, so the tequila-based drinks and the Mexican mm-hmm. food and calling it a cantina now and not having that confusing sign that almost kind of looked... It almost resembled a strip club sign.
It did, yeah.
Yes.
Like when I looked at it, I was like, wait, where's the naked girls underneath the pool tables and this? And I'm confused. Like it looked that kind of place.
Yep.
So this made it have a welcoming feel. Like, I would walk in there.
Yeah. And I also like how he retrofits. So if you take a really close look, a lot of us, whether it's our houses or mm-hmm. our apartments, or a lot of stuff doesn't have to get thrown out or doesn't have to get chipped out or doesn't, you know, if you take a long look at things, you can really dress them up for not so much money. And I know he brings in great equipment and mm-hmm. sometimes he just totally blows it out. But if you look at the outside, he took that brick and he hit it with a red lacquer mm-hmm. paint or whoever did. Yeah. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
And then he had that big side of the wall and it's like, hey, there's eyeballs that see this wall. That's free ad space for us. Mm-hmm. Why not? So they just paint the wall, which is great. That's easy.
That doesn't cost much money.
No. And then even to go, and then when you went inside, he has such a great eye for the flow, you know, to open up those walls. And again, honestly, even for us to open up any of these walls, it's not hard, you guys. It's
right.
Like nothing a sledgehammer, even a small 2-pound hammer, can't do. And but he has a great eye for that, mm-hmm. you know, to make some of them. Like, I love when he totally blows it out and changes everything. But I also like when he takes what they have and makes work. Like, he took the bar and said, let's keep it. It's authentic. It's aged. Obviously, we'll reinforce it. We'll put a stencil on it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool.
I loved it. I thought it was it's been my favorite bar top.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was old school. It felt good.
What mm-hmm. else did you like about the, so when we get into the interior?
The lime squeezing machine?
Oh!
Thing was amazing.
Totally pimp.
I wish I had one of those when I was bartending.
I just wanted to play with it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I would actually probably ignore my customers, to be honest with you, and just to play with that thing all day long. That was the most amazing thing I think I've seen in a long time.
But how great is John to say, okay, I know you like the lobster thing because it looks like a shiny bell or whistle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I promise I'll replace it with something. God, look what he did.
That thing was awesome.
Amazing. It was. And now, correct me if I'm wrong. I love the way, but it reminded me of an oil derrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. What it was for. So I was sorry. So it was an oil derrick. Okay. Sorry.
Because that area has, you know, this. So it's just classic.
Yeah. Oh, it was so nice. And I like the way the bar was even lit.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lighting was great. Because even when the lights were on, because the lights have to be on when they're filming, it still looked fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks so pretty. Imagine what that looks like. When they're not in there filming.
So a skanky local bar now has a nice look to it. Now, even the red felt on the pool tables is matching the wall, nice. Right?
It made sense.
And I liked the way that he separated the cities because her building literally is sitting at the city line. So I liked the way he separated. This is the Long Beach side. This is this side.
Fun. And
different themes.
So much fun.
Yeah. It just made it fun.
Yeah. And I really did. One reminded me of... Well, I do Dallas, so it reminded me of Dallas.
Right.
And the other one felt like, oh, I'm in a Mexican cantina.
Yeah. It was a good feeling. But the lime squeeze machine was definitely.
Yeah, they did some really
Sean
good
Sean Duggan
stuff.
Or Dugan. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh,
one
Dugan.
Of those two. He's
Sean Duggan.
His expert. Yeah,
he was great.
He's a mechanical genius.
And then Russell Davis, Russell Davies, he realized that these bartenders weren't going to be mixologists.
That's
great assessment. Yeah, you got to know your players.
Exactly.
This is what I'm stuck with. I got to figure it out.
So then he just made these really, you know, simple drinks. Lime juice, tequila, ginger ale. Go for it, guys.
Even Coach can do it.
Yeah. And he was like speeding up at the end.
Yeah, he was.
When we watched it. He was speeding up. He could do like four drinks, not just beer.
I really hope Brian's not back. Well, I even forgot his name, but
Bill.
Bill. I really hope they don't bring Bill back.
I hope not, because...
So Martin, when you go to check that place out, I want you to find out if Bill's there.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Phil took his mom out tonight. His mom's in town.
So cute.
So, but normally Phil's always good at being the creeper that calls these places. And they're tuning, which is great. They're tuning into us, and now the word's out. But I don't know if he'll follow up on this one. So, Martin, we need to find out if Bill is still working.
And the reason I think that he is was even when they showed the sign, when they were, you know, showing her the sign, she was like, well, Bill, he's a really nice guy. Can we just give him one more shot?
Oh, no, for the second chance.
Yes, for the second chance.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I did see something on Yelp that they do karaoke now, and Bill is the DJ's name. So.
No.
I hope it's just a different Bill.
Wait a second. No, but wait. Okay, let me. Here's one consolation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. I'm going to like falsely assume that we've been in the situation. I was wrong the first time. You guys are actually better bosses than me.
You're fired.
Okay, so my other thing is, have you been in the position where you like someone personally and you want to find something for them? Like maybe Bill has a sick mom or wife and kids, and you just, it's like, he's disruptive behind the bar. How do I figure out something else for him? And I'm hoping if he did get brought back, I hope he doesn't get brought, but if he did, it's like, okay, you can do karaoke.
Or
you come
maybe
in and run karaoke night.
He learned
or be
maybe
a host.
No. Let me tell you we go back to my bartending, but also Carney experiences. When people steal you guys, it's like a vampire tasting blood for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 100% of the time, so if someone were stealing and we knew it and we either liked them personally or they were friends with the boss or whatever it was, I could totally expose them, come up with all these amazing systems to thwart them, have the proof so I could say to them, listen, here's the video of you, or this two of us saw you, or your apron came back with, let's say, should have had $1,000 and it only had $600, whatever the case was. They would behave for a few weeks and they'd always just go right back to stealing, because they just, it's like once you get into that, you just can't get out. Like, so if he's back, I mean, he hasn't learned any lessons. He'll steal.
I would have never hired him back because of the fact liars, cheats, and thieves, they're the worst kind of people.
Yeah.
And if I knew someone that had worked for me and did one of those three, a liar, but definitely cheat and thieves, because they're the same thing. Out, you're done.
Because
I can't ever trust you.
Right.
And that's the same with a liar, but you can never trust anybody. I can never have that person back in. You want to come in and have a drink, that's great, as long as you're not near my cash register.
Do you guys think Phil's a liar?
No.
No?
No. Okay.
No, no, I really
no, think no, I know. Here's why I bring that up. As someone who doesn't know him, was convinced that he was conspiring and lying. I'm like, oh my God, poor Phil is the straightest arrow. You know? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So
but we don't have a Bevintel that can tell us if Phil's stealing.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's got to be a way to do Bevintel.
There has to be like a. Is there like a truth thing we can do here?
No, we're very. My God, I think the reason AfterBuzz does so well is because he is such a good kid, and Marissa's so good. And, you know what I mean? They're good. They're so good that that's why I think it trickles down. You know, and in fact, I stay out of here.
No, they work. Marissa and Phil. They're here all the time in this place
because they watch Bar Rescue.
Yes, exactly. They know,
and they do. And you know, what's great is they do. And Marissa loves the show, but she said she's afraid because she thinks John would yell at her.
And I know.
He still wouldn't yell at her.
He would love her.
That's what I said.
He would fall in love with her.
You know what's interesting, Chris Lee? Your own Kathy Cupcake, Kathy Kelly, not a fan of Bar Rescue. We were prodding her all weekend about it, and we almost became like the school bullies. Like, really? Why don't you like Bar Rescue? What are you hiding from us? Why is it
that Kathy Cupcake?
She said there's just so many shows on TV that I need to watch. She's like, I just don't have the time. But I don't know. We're not buying it. Something about it. I think she knows John would. He'd have a thing or two to say to her, too.
Sometimes, fear of aggression.
Here's what we concluded is that me and Steven, who works here, would take the brunt of the beating. But in the end, nobody'd say, I agree with that. We would get killed. You know, at the beginning, because
Steven would get killed.
Steven, at the end of the renovation, he really came through because one of the... We the new screening room, like the sound system, he got that working. And then the other, and Phil, probably because we were just gassed, we couldn't figure out things anymore. And so he got that. You know, when I first met Steven, he was a real clown with really bad attitude. But by the end of our rescue.
I totally could have came in and played John Taffer, by the way.
Well,
totally.
We'll do it again. Next time, we have to do downstairs.
There's a downstairs?
Over in the big back. Screening room. Yeah. That has to go. That's getting completely done.
So you guys want to believe there was a downstairs here.
If you want to. Yeah. I call it. It is. You go downstairs to get there.
Well,
so
yeah,
that's
true. There are steps to get there.
So, yeah, Chrissy, you have to come and hammer
us. Ready.
But, yeah, we could conclude it would be me and Steven. That would take
care of you. You just all have to promise that I'm not going to get fired after I come in and do it.
No, we have to be like, no, right? We have to be like his people. He's in control. You have to give up all your rights. So, oh my God.
Well, that'd be so much fun. I'm coming in for that.
To go and watch. Yeah.
I was going
to
watch.
But I have to say, by watching, I've recommended three other companies to have their employees watch. In fact, I think the head of AOL, he's like, I'm going to do that. I said, you should have your people start watching because it's helped us here so much to watch this show and to learn. And as workers and as managers, all of us have learned, just little things like, my big thing is fingerprints on the doors, because whether using the markers on the marker boards or whatever. And, we have 200 people go through the studios. So, I get it. But it's just those little details that when guests come in here, you want a neat environment, a clean environment. We want the drinks for them, the popcorn, all that stuff. And even though it's not broadcasting, it's still part of it for us.
Of course.
Even the host experience when, the hosts come in, a lot of our hosts, it's like poker night to most of them, where this is a fun night out to watch your shows with fellow fans and who instantly become your friends because you have the same interest in the show you're doing. And then from there you go in and report on the show. But it's not just that hour that they record, go backwards. It's that, the 2 or 3 hours they're here. So when they watch it, that's why we up the screening room upstairs and then downstairs, we want to do the same thing. And like I said, clean environment, neat refreshments here. We want it to be a really great experience for the host because that translates to them when they go on camera. Their energy is great. They're happy. They're positive. This is a nice night out for them. And then our fans of the network feel it because they'll always say, that's why we do a better job because none of our people are just purely hosts. They're also fans.
Oh, yeah.
But that energy. So I've been saying it for a long time, and there's like a what, 6-generation gap between me and the staff. So it's hard to get it through to them. But by watching the show, they're seeing like, oh, wow, you know what? It is more than just serving a beer.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's everything from the from being out on the street, you know, across the street from the bar, within eye distance of the bar, to all the way to the deepest, innermost part of the bar. They're all important facets.
Well, just like John said when we were interviewing him, it starts even before he walks in, and his eyes are going and looking at everything.
Yeah.
So
and the back of the house stuff is just as important as the stuff that you see.
It's, absolutely.
You may not know that it's happening, but it takes those things to happen for the whole team to work successfully.
And why I think this show transcends just people who are fans of bars and just guys, I think anyone who's interested in business, but even the business of running your house, I feel like all these things are little entities. And I see when people's lives are chaotic or whatever, it's like, oh my God, just if I could go to your house and straighten out your foundation and get you on the right path, it will make such a difference. And you know, the other thing is most people, they don't know enough when they're in a situation. So you see it with the bartenders or the wait staff, or you see it with the kitchen people. They just are unhappy, but they don't know why. A lot, they don't have the capacity. And so I'm always saying here, you know, when you know, we had like all this extra furniture here we didn't need. It was just so cluttered. And I said, you know, you guys don't know it because you're just so busy working, but you're bumping into each other. It's just all that clutter is stress and the and then the dirt and the dust that's around. It grinds on you, but you don't know it. Okay, but again, when someone's 6 generations removed from you, I know
you're
it.
Not that and much so, older than some
so
of us.
So I say, yes, I am.
No,
so
not.
I'll
not
say,
some
yes,
us.
I am. Oh yeah, no, these guys are young.
Oh yeah.
And but no, but I'll say, guys, let me even Maria's office. You know, going down to you know her place. She works out of a trailer. You know, to down at the Grove and. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of business done out of that trailer. So many interviews all day long, and there's fittings, and then not just what she does on the show, but then what she does at the Oscars and the Emmys and the special events. There's just a ton going on, and it was just chaos. And so, you know, I said, please just give me a day and a half. Let me go down there, and we did. We did the whole, you know, rescue thing to that environment. And now she's like, wow, we're all in better mood. Everyone's in a better mood. Everyone's happier. And it's all these little things. And now people are happy. Now they love the job. They're happy with the environment. Now you're still going to have some bad eggs no matter what. And then you just got to get rid of them. You know, you can't fix those people.
And those are the people who, even after you do everything, is still not good enough.
Still not good enough. And that's why you say, you know what? And I hate those kind of people. And that's why you say, get out. There's 3 kinds of people, you know, even for being a filmmaker, it's like when you go on a set. But I think it's true of anything, is part of the landscape. Part of the problem, part of the solution. Three different kinds of people. And the problem is the people who are part of the problem start getting the people who are part of the landscape. And they poison them. And now you've got a 2/3 majority on your hands.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is those ones who are part of the problem, out. The landscape people will go, oh, they'll get solution-based. They'll get positive. They'll go with the flow. But it's really hard. But it's all about these details. And when I watch this show, I'm learning things. It's reinforcing things. And it's really helped us at AfterBuzz.
But that's why I like it, too. And I think I wish more people were like John Taffer in the way that when they see that problem, they just get rid of it. Like, they just get rid of it.
No, like, you're like Maria Christie. I know. Maria's the same way.
Like, just get rid of it.
She just
like,
says,
when
that's
somebody's
it, done.
Not, yeah,
gotta
when
go.
Not, yeah, you don't show up and bring your A game, then bye-bye.
You know, guys, today,
why?
So something else went on with another, not AfterBuzz related, where I was supposed to fight somebody today. And, I went to the whole thing and said, listen, it's just not working, and
it's not me; it's you.
And by the no. But and so by the end of
I'm
it,
not, I'm not.
No, by the end of it, No, he talked me out of it.
Kevin,
I know.
You are the honestly. You are the last person I would think that would talk somebody that somebody would talk you out of something.
Really?
You are the
no
last
for
person
something like
I would
no
think.
No. They can't. If I have an idea or a vision, and I say, no, guys, trust me, this is going to work. So whether it's AfterBuzz or it's. A TV show or movie that I'm convicted or I believe in your talent. No, then I'm like that. But if you go, I know what
she
feels
like.
Like
Lana.
So I am
sometimes.
Like Lana
because
I feel bad. And so I go, okay, well maybe.
And he wants to give them the benefit of the doubt
Honor,
and help them to go on the right track. And I'm going to tell you that you can't
fire them. I know. Next time,
say
Chrissy.
I mean, I will say.
Yeah, seriously.
There are some. There are a handful There's, and that's like a minority, not a majority.
Yeah, it's a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, they're a needle in a haystack that need to be told and need to be, you know, shoved and helped out. But they're like few and far between.
Well, especially in this business.
Okay, yes, so with this, so I, what I said to him was, you know, on paper, I know by removing you right now, that's the easy thing to do is just to remove you from the situation, you know, and fire you. That's the easy thing, and that will work. That's a slam dunk, will totally work because the entity that we're working on, I know everything's going to get better because you're out of it and you're with your negative attitude, and the people out of there are not going to feel your negativity and they're not going to be poisoned any further, but also they'll go, whoa, wake up call. I better, you know, and I'm like, but on the other hand, we're not robots. We're human beings. At the end of the day, I know you look. Christy's looking for such judgment.
I'm calling John Taffer right now.
And so I just said to him, you know, now you need to prove to me because this is the, you know, this is the slam dunk was to get rid of you. Everything would get better. But if you know, you need to now tell me I'm not going to regret this decision. And then I called him even right afterwards and he said, I 100% promise you'll not regret this in a year from now. And he said 6 months from now. I said, no, I need you to say a year from now because I want it can't be, you know, you need to be nice for 2 weeks.
No.
And he said, I promise. I get it. I make adjustments very quickly. And the fact that he owned up to some of the things, like a lot of times people just go, okay, I'll be good. But they don't really understand why they're being yelled at. They just want to get out of it and keep their job.
Or make excuses.
But that he was like, no, I can see where I do that. And this is learning for me, too. I can see where I say something. But it's not my intention. I don't mean it. I love the job and I love the place. It's just I do get like that. And I have more influence over people than I realize. And I have to. So, you know, again, the right thing would have been to say, see ya. But, you know, he's got family. He's got other things and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Why, so we'll just see.
We need to do a Kevin rescue.
Yeah.
I think that's why John Taffer would be yelling at me.
John and I are going to have an intervention.
Yeah. If you want to be nice, get rid of him and give him a severance pay. Nice to know you.
By the way, you know how many times I, you know what I call that? You know what I call that? Pay the VIG, like the mafia.
Yeah.
You got to pay the VIG. And I have no problem with that. Just, here you go. But it was, that's the thing. It's he didn't even want that. He just didn't want it. He was like, no, I really believe in what we're doing. And please, like, I have so much of my heart invested in this. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to be part of it. It wasn't about the money, you know? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I if she could hang on, I give her credit. I feel for her. I know that you guys are right. But I'm more involved in the, I'm better with the creative and some of the operational stuff, but you know Phil really is. He's a straight shooter. He doesn't has emotion. That's why he's really good at that. We've decided, you know, I'm a good wartime general. You want me when you're at war. You want me, but peacetime, no.
You're the guy who gives the motivational speeches
and then leaves.
Yeah,
and gets on my private jet, flies out,
and then maybe. Phil takes care of it all.
He does. No, I've built, you know, back in the carny business, I reference this all the time. But we had, I think, like 3 or 4 stands when we started, and they'd never had a college kid work for them. They had all degenerates and thieves. So now they had a degenerate thief college worker with them. So I like had a. You guys are supposed to laugh at that point.
But yeah, because
no,
you knew.
But anyway, but I applied the college system.
That was the funny part, right
but,
there.
But we went from 4 stands to like 300, because that's what I do. That's what I do. But then once it's run,
then
it's
the day to day running. Then it came down to firing people, and he just had to leave.
Well, it was the dysfunctional thing of. Get pushed, be nice, and then snap.
Yeah.
And then fist fight, and then stupid for everybody. But no, I'm good in the crisis. I'm good in the wartime. I'm good at the building. And then, you know, that's where I just now quietly. And by the way, they're having more and more meetings, Maria and him and WME, and I'm being invited to less and less of them. But I'm happy with that because I just rather work. I'd rather build. I'd rather do. That's my thing. I like getting my hands dirty and stuff like that. And I know what it takes. Like, I know on paper how this place needs to look and how people need to be treated and all that stuff. And I know on paper you just got to fire the person. That part I don't like.
Sometimes you just need a little John Taffer.
If you need like a
Chrissy, I know you're a total hit man.
You should make
it.
A I figured it out. You need a John Taffer mixtape for like when you need to get pumped up to like fire somebody or get something done.
No, I don't want
to. No, because he doesn't want to do it.
I don't want to be. It's like,
he doesn't want to do it. He needs the person to do it for him.
And by the way, I guess I just don't even want to. But then I don't want someone doing my dirty work either. Because even today, the person kept trying to put it on Phil. I know this is. I go, oh my God, this poor kid's getting hung. I go, it's not him. It's me. I hate you. Phil doesn't.
Oh, dear.
You annoy me.
Oh, dear.
Anyways.
John, if you're listening, I apologize for all of that.
No, wait a second.
John's rolling over right now.
Have we learned anything?
No, but that we need to watch more Bar Rescue?
We need to watch more Bar Rescue. No, but I think some of us know you shouldn't be in that position. And you see that on the show.
Well, yeah.
When they know someone, you know, he always knows that too. He'll take, you ever see where he takes waitresses and he puts them on the bar and he's like, no, that's where your energy goes. Or you're better with people. You need to be the host. You have to put people to their strengths.
Yeah.
That's not my strength. My strength is either if we're in a really bad jam, or if something needs to be fixed, you want me. Or if something needs to be built from scratch, you want me. That's where my strengths are. My strengths aren't in those other areas. You know?
I get it. There's I tell people that could... all the time. Strengths and weaknesses. Everyone has them.
Yeah.
You cater to what you have. Right. And running a company, you always look at what someone has because someone has a gift. There's a reason why they're there. They might not be great at what they're doing at that point, but there's something that they're great at. Find out what it is and put them there. Normally, they're the happiest.
And then we're the happiest. And then if you can assess yourself, you'll save yourself a lot of
headaches.
You can say, listen, there's certain things I can work on. I can try to get better, but at the end of the day, I'm out of my wheelhouse. I know, and like I'll say to Phil, I know I need to improve on these things, and I'm still working on it every day. But ultimately, it's not my strength. And I think so. You know, a lot of this. Oh, we're getting the wrap ups.
I was like, I think this might be
Martin,
the most.
No, bring in Sammy. We'll know it's over.
Martin, do you want any more lectures?
He gets them every
day. They haven't been lectures. They've been pearls of wisdom.
We've had a very educational Bar Rescue today.
Yes.
Very revealing.
Yes.
Very revealing. I missed, by the way, I totally missed next week's episode. So I can't even be part of predictions tonight.
No, you guys, it's Dimples.
It's Dimples.
You guys, the reason we're getting so excited is Dimples is in Burbank.
Yes.
I got thrown out of there many times. After MTV, we used to go there every Thursday night or Friday night after taping.
Field trip.
You guys have been to Dimples?
My friend Ted has mixed tapes of her singing karaoke there.
Oh, I know where that is.
It's right across from Warner Brothers.
They used to do porn star karaoke there on Monday nights. I don't know if they
Wait. So listen, Dorinda, you're going to call them next week. We're going to actually try. Next week's a big WrestleMania. We have WrestleMania that we're doing live from the Lovitz Theater in LA. Kathy Cupcake, Ryan Katz. So anyway, some of the staff is going to be over there.
Okay.
So we're not going to be able to go there Sunday night. Monday we could, but if it's karaoke Monday,
I'll find out more.
The three of us could figure out how we get there on a Tuesday or how whatever during the day. I mean, if there's a bump next week and when our show comes up, be patient. We will do it. If we have to do it in the studio, we will. But God, what a tragedy, you guys! It's right down the street.
If we can do Dimples, And I'm sure our fans are going to understand if we can actually do it on location. It's so much better.
You know what I bet? Hey, here's the thing, you guys. Yeah. You guys, I bet you anything they're going to play that episode live for everyone at the bar, and then we could do it right after. How about that? But that would be Sunday night, so we can't do that.
No. I'll call up and find out what they do on Monday.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Are you guys available to go over there on a Sunday night and maybe get some interviews?
I could do that.
I'm here.
Christy, you're here on Sundays.
Here?
Yeah. Please. You have what, Bachelor? What do you do on Sundays here?
Californication.
Oh, yeah, the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Love that show.
Such a good show.
All right, we'll work it out. I'm really excited for Dimples. Oh, and John rolls up his sleeve and goes to work.
Yes, because the chef looks like he's about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I think they pushed him too far. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and Duffy's on.
We're excited. I apologize for all the going off track. I haven't done that in a while, but oh well. So we went 1 hour.
You're the boss. You're allowed.
No, I'm not the boss. That's
until
the problem.
I fire you.
Where's Phil? Yeah, until Chrissy lets me go. Anyway, you guys, where the heck do we find you?
You can find me at Twitter at Lula Cherry Films.
And you guys can find me on Twitter, where I promise to not fire you, at Chrissy Lee.
At Crystal Lee. Little Cherry Films, porn or
no.
What?
That's actually
soft porn. Soft porn.
It's named after my mom.
Right? Lula Cherry.
Yeah, that's my mom's
great name.
It's a great name.
Like, yeah, but I get that all the time.
And, so Lula Cherry makes movies or talks about movies?
Lula Cherry makes movies.
Really?
Yeah.
You never told me that.
Yeah. I know.
I used to make movies.
Yeah.
And then Maria came into my life. Okay. We're out of here. Hey, by the way, so thanks to Martin in the studio. Martin, where do we find you?
Here, in the booth.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
Oh, my God. And by the way, how much do we love Sammy doing
this is amazing.
The theme to Y5O?
The best.
Yes.
He's singing right out to John Taffer. All right, you guys, we'll see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From Bing.com, executive.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.